Welcome to China Tech Talk, the weekly discussion of technology and startups here in China. I am John Artman, editor-in-chief of Technode.com, joined as always by Matthew Brennan, founder of China Channel. So this week, we welcome on to the show Shadma Sheikh, a reporter and writer at Factor Daily. And we're actually going quite outside our usual wheelhouse this week, and we're looking in particular at the Indian market.
Yeah, definitely. Shadma wrote this great article about how the Chinese, there's just been a huge increase in Chinese apps in the top 100 apps in India. And it just seemed like there was this big shift in terms of like attention and the success of Chinese players in the Indian market. So obviously the article, I think, for our listeners who want to understand more about this area, you know, you should read that article. We'll put it in the show notes. And that was a great sort of like starting point for listening to this podcast, or maybe after you've listened to the podcast, because it seems like there is a big change happening in the Indian market, especially with content-related applications. And it seems that Chinese players are starting to really have an impact there.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, from our perspective, you know, we're kind of here in China looking at what companies are doing. And I think that certainly a mistake that I've made is only focusing on what they're doing in China. And, you know, we talked a little bit about what ByteDance is doing in the States, in particular with TikTok, but they're trying to do something really similar in India as well. And they're taking their typical aggressiveness with them. And so one of the phrases that really kind of stood out was this that Shadma used was this idea that startups are now looking at Chinese companies and like, oh, you know, they're out to get us, because, you know, Chinese companies, they're used to moving very, very quickly, and, you know, and perhaps the Indian startup community, they've been looking at Silicon Valley as a role model. So, you know, in terms of getting the product correct and then looking for growth, where you know Chinese companies, they tend to do it the opposite, where you release it, you get users as quickly as possible, and then you optimize from there.
Yeah, exactly. We cover a lot in the podcast, the interview with her. We touch upon all these different areas. Actually, I think this could be a whole series of podcasts, because the Indian market, obviously, it's huge, it's complex. There's all the different areas that you could drill down into, like e-commerce, like content, like payments. So we're really, covering a lot, I feel. But what I find India so interesting is that, you know, this is where rubber is hitting the road. This is the front line of where American giants and the Chinese giants and American startups and Chinese startups are fighting this battle out of these two different ways, these two different mindsets and strategies and ways of doing things. You know, India's that really, really, like right now is where it's happening. I mean, when we look at where these Chinese players are really putting their efforts, it's places like Southeast Asia, it's places like India, it's places like Eastern Europe where they're putting their focus. And so the local players are really, starting to feel this impact of now, it's not just Silicon Valley, it's also China that's really starting to come into it and make big waves and starting to have a big impact on our local market. And it seems that the Chinese are being quite successful. You know, they're doing things a different way, but it's starting to work. You know, old paradigms about how China, Chinese companies are very bad at going outside of China. In the Valley, everyone talks about how, you know, Chinese companies are just being protected by this firewall. And, if there's no firewall blocking them, then they can't really, you know, have too much of an impact. You know, that way of thinking is way out of date here. It's not in line with the reality of what's happening in markets like India today, where Chinese players are having a huge impact.
Yeah, definitely. And with that, we give you Shadma Sheikh. Well, Shadma, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So whenever we have someone on for the first time, we always like to get a little bit of information about them. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing?
Sure. So my name is Shadma Sheikh. I have been a journalist for the last 4 years, and I'm a writer with Factor Daily, which is a technology-focused publication based in India. And, you know, just a little tip for your listeners, if you want to know what's happening in technology landscape in India, you should definitely check out factordaily.com. So in the past, I've worked with publications like Economic Times and Deccan Chronicle, and I come from a software engineering background. So I've also worked as a database developer with Accenture for about 4 years.
Okay, awesome. Sounds good. So Shadma, you know, before we get into the details, you know, I think it'd be useful to just give our listeners a bit of background about India, because for our listenership, you know, we cover China in depth quite a lot, but people's knowledge of the Indian market, which has got very different characteristics, would be much less. So if you could just give us like a breakdown of like what are the key characteristics of the Indian mobile internet market?
Sure. So this is going to be a long one. I mean, India is highly populous, right? And not very different from China that way. But see, it has a population of about over a billion. And an interesting thing that happened in India about 2 years ago was that Reliance Industries, which is sort of like a giant in India, it launched its telco service provider called Jio, which basically democratized internet in India. So Jio offered, you know, free unlimited data for all of its users for a very long time, and then it slashed the prices so low that, you know, almost everyone could afford it. So this brought about a large number of new first-time internet users, and the total number of internet subscribers touched about 512 million last year, June. So of these, close to, I think, 95% were accessing internet through their mobile phones. Now, these new users, when they came on the internet for the first time, they were sort of in an exploratory mode. So many of these were mobile first, mobile only users. They were never connected to PC before. They didn't know how things worked. Many of them couldn't even read or understand instructions in English. So we saw a lot of, you know, mobile operating systems being built for regional languages at that point. And even now, a lot of these users prefer regional language content, be it entertainment or information. But what's interesting is, you know, that this entire half billion cannot be categorized as a uniform India market. So there were early adopters, or as they're called, India One. These are the urban affluent Indians who speak English, are on Instagram, order food from Zomato, subscribe to Netflix. This is just a 100 million market though. The rest of it, which is the 400 to 500 million market, is what's called India 2.0 or India 2, or, you know, Bharat, which is the vernacular term for India. So this is essentially your vernacular or regional language market, which is your lower tier towns. That's where the new battle is being fought right now. So there are about 22 languages that are being spoken in India. There's also a lot of economic disparity. You know, the per capita for almost half of the 1 billion population is strikingly low as compared to the top 100 million. So essentially, India as a market is largely divided by languages, states, cultural differences of north, south, cities, villages, and of course, the economic disparity. Lastly, I think it's also a very cost-sensitive market, and Android pretty much dominates India. So yeah, that's India for you.
So I mean, how do you know, tech companies in particular, I mean, like, how do they deal with this fragmented market? I mean, like, you know, do they just have all of their apps in all of the languages?
So some of them do. I mean, the earliest ones, right? Like when Facebook and WhatsApp launched, I mean, when all of these American companies that are in India, when they launched, they were sort of in English and they got to the first 100 million users first. But now what you see is a lot of, you know, content-driven apps that are being pushed in India. A lot of these are Chinese. And they basically do come in, say, you know, they start with, say, five languages that are widely spoken if they are targeting certain areas. You know, if it's north, there will be these four prominent languages that are spoken in the north part of India. And then if it's south, then you pick those four or five languages that are widely spoken there. And then, you know, as you grow your market, or you expand in within the India market, you start putting down more languages.
So so that gives us some good background on the Indian market there. So what we really want to cover today, I think, is the article you wrote recently about how Chinese apps we've seen a big surge in the number of popular Chinese apps in the market. For our listeners who haven't read the article, I suggest you read it either as a sort of companion to this podcast. But firstly, I want to ask, what inspired you to write the article? Was there a moment where you said, like, I have to cover this topic? You know, is this a topic that other people are talking about in India?
Interesting. Yeah. So, you know, at Factor Daily, we've been looking at China big time. It's been something we've been discussing in our newsroom for close to, I would say, a year now. And it's not just in newsrooms. You know, there's a whole lot of action happening out on the streets, meetings, conferences, events, and people from the startup ecosystem in India have been talking about this. So the word on the street is the Chinese are coming for us, you know. So you see venture capitalists in India who've taken founders from their portfolio companies to meet companies like Tencent and Alibaba. There are, you know, annual tours that happen now to cities like Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, Shenzhen from India. And, you know, I think it's got a lot to do with success of companies like, say, Xiaomi or Huawei or even UC Web that has rung very strongly in India. And now people are aware. And we've been covering this in one or the other way. Like, I wrote about NewsDoc, which is an app by a Beijing-headquartered company that was in many ways one of the earliest of this lot of apps that are now popular in India. It's a content aggregator that had 50 million users and, you know, many other apps like Musical.ly, which is now TikTok. There's Vigo Video. These are both by ByteDance. Then there's Bigo Live. There's Live Me by Cheetah. All of these started picking up around, you know, late 2017 or I would say early 2018. And all of these apps, while introduced a whole new category, were also doing good numbers. So while the content on these apps was, you know, sort of sleazy and racy and objectionable to a large extent, which I believe is a factor that contributed to their initial growth, what was surprising and increasingly evident was how there were a number of new apps that were launching every week and they were all climbing ranks on Play Store. So earlier, say around August, September, I think ByteDance launched its India-only product, which is called Hello, which is like a platform sharing video and image-based content in vernacular languages. Now, then there were other apps like Viva Video, To Get You, ZackZack, Like, Live You, Live Me. And I realized that, you know, this is sort of getting out of hand. And we had this internal discussion in the newsroom. And we thought, you know, let's look at all of these data in a broad way and try to make sense of it. So I sifted through the data of, say, a year, analyzed it month-wise, and, you know, there it was. And to answer the last part of your question, are other people writing about this? Yes. I think some of them have started noticing this now. Like TikTok is big in India. I mean, it's an interesting story to write about. And but it's not as huge as WhatsApp though. But you see, it's not just limited to these platforms. There's also e-commerce happening in a big way. There are Club Factory, Romway, Shein, you know, some of the popular brands that are selling cross-border from China to India. There are ride-sharing companies like Mobike that launched in India. Besides, you know, there's also a huge deal of investment that's coming from China. I think there's Tencent's investment, Alibaba, and they've made huge bets in India. And in the last 1 year, I think we've seen Shunwei Capital, Xiaomi, Cheetah, Morningside Ventures, 01 VC. They're all investing in India. So it's you know, definitely attracted the attention of the whole startup tech ecosystem in India.
But for the end user, I mean, do you think that most people are aware that some of these like really popular apps are in fact Chinese, or you know, have they just done like a really good job of localization that people don't even think to question it?
Yeah, that's interesting because I don't think a lot of people are aware that these apps are Chinese. If you sign into some of these apps, they don't even have English as a primary language. You know, they are only available in regional languages. So I don't think the end user is aware that these apps are Chinese, which is the reason why the story, you know, spiked so much interest because people didn't know the scale at which Chinese apps are available or being used in India. So and like you said, they have done a pretty good job of localizing, but you know, localization isn't just content. I mean, it has to be more than content. It has to basically, you know, sort of pick up the culture. It has to sort of become a part of everyday lives of people. And what's going to be challenging in future is that there are a bunch of these apps now, and they're all trying to do the same thing. So, you know, how do you get a user to stick on your platform and, you know, not go to the next platform that's basically offering you cashback or is like a new app and has more racy content? How do you do that? That's going to be a challenge, I think.
Yeah, I just want to stick on this just for a second, because you know the relationship between China and India is quite complicated. And you know, there's been a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of history between the two countries, and you know, like with everything that's going on with China and the U.S. now, and also you know, recent geopolitical issues between India and China. I'm just kind of curious. I mean, like, so like after you published this article. And I mean, like, have people reached out to you? I mean, like, what's the feedback that you've gotten about, you know, if people are discovering that they are Chinese? Are people concerned about that, or is it just a non-issue?
So I would say some people are concerned, but that's not the biggest thing. I mean, there have been some inquiries that have come from the government side or a little bit from, you know, the cybercrime side of things, but it's not huge. I mean, and it's not new. I think these guys were already aware that this is happening. The authority guys, they already knew this is happening. You know, from I think from that perspective, it didn't make a lot of difference. But where it did make a difference is the product guys or the startup guys who are now looking at it, you know, more aggressively, because they understand that this is something that they've also been trying to do in India. But you see, China has a different way of doing things. It gets the numbers. So I think from the product perspective, from the startup tech perspective, there's more sort of aggression that I've seen in the last 2 weeks in terms of the conversations that I've had with people, where people are saying that, you know, this is something that we need to nail down now.
Yeah, I mean, the words you used before were that the word on the street is the Chinese are coming for us. Is that that seems to indicate there's some level of concern.
That's correct. But that's also because, you know, when I say that, I say that from the startup tech perspective. The startup guys here have been trying to, you know, sort of try really hard to, you know, become, to have like a good consumer internet company come out of India. You know, there's ShareChat that it's a regional content platform that has been there for the last 2-3 years, and they're doing good numbers. But now you see that, you know, they have a lot of competitors from China. So, and you see a lot of activity happening, you see a lot of trips happening, you see a lot of Chinese who are speaking to investors, visiting Indian cities and doing regional content when they don't even understand a regional language. So, you know, that's where the concern comes from. I mean, why aren't we doing enough? It's more from that perspective, I think.
Okay, well, that actually kind of leads into one of the questions that I wanted to ask. So maybe we'll cover this now, you know, early on. Why don't we see stronger local Indian tech companies making a much bigger impact in the local market, do you think?
So I wouldn't say that's entirely true, because there are companies such as Byju's, which is an e-learning app, and it's pretty huge in India. Then I think there's Oyo, which is a hotel network, and that's actually expanded to China now. And I hear they are in 280 cities, 5,000 hotels. And then there are others like Make My Trip, Book My Show. And, you know, also Indian-rooted companies such as Flipkart and Paytm out there. And don't forget Jio itself, you know. That said, I think it's still early days for the Indian app ecosystem. As I said, there are hundreds of new users coming on the internet every day. The post-geo data uptake is just 2 years old, and I think much of India's growth is just ahead. So it may be easy to dismiss the Indians in the onslaught by the Chinese, but you know, let's not forget that I think the Indian story is just being written, with internet getting more mainstream now, and also the per capita incomes, which are supposed to get doubled in the next 10 years. So it's about to change, I think.
Right. Okay, that makes sense, in that the app ecosystem is less developed. That there's been a big change recently, and perhaps other markets are more developed. You know, when we think of India, you know, people, you know, in Indian, the impression is that India has quite a strong IT sector, right? So that is kind of, but maybe it's not so much consumer app focused as people would immediately think.
Yeah, you're right.
So let's take a look at one of the top names here, which you've mentioned already a couple of times, which is ByteDance. They've been making big waves. I think 2018, they stepped their game up considerably in terms of global expansion. You've already mentioned Hello, TikTok, obviously, Virgo Video. You know, perhaps we drill down into them a bit more. How do you assess ByteDance's position in the Indian market right now?
Sure, yeah, you're right. So ByteDance is sort of in the top names, though I don't think it's making so much noise PR-wise, you know. So ByteDance has TikTok, Vigo Video, and Hello, which are all doing pretty well in the India market. In fact, Zhang Yiming, the founder of ByteDance, said this in an internal meeting in Beijing. He said that, you know, India is their fastest growing market. And though I think TikTok is the most popular one here. I hear people say it's a YouTube killer or it's India's Instagram. And it could be a lot to do with the platform's heavily personalized recommendation engine. Because, with all this platform play getting more mainstream, I think recommendation is taking over the search function right now. So TikTok does a very good job of that, I believe. And it also has a lot of, content creators, local content creators, regional content, which has made it popular. Hello, which is their new product in India. I think it was launched sometime July last year. And I think it already has about, 10 million users. So now this could be artificial growth, but that's known to be the Chinese way of doing things, right? You get numbers first and then you decide how to retain those users. So Hello, which has a UI which more, resembles, I would say, Instagram, but in Indian languages. It's actually trying to get celebrities and artists on their platform. There's also a lot of political content on Hello right now. So they are trying to get more localized, get more locally relevant content on their platform. So particularly Hello seems to be in a big time, user acquisition phase as compared to TikTok on the other hand, which is looking at building the platform play, getting more artists, getting more content creators to increase, the stickiness of the platform or the time that people spend on the platform. And they've also, the monetization bit of it, they haven't cracked it yet. But I think TikTok is going to be looking at that this year. They've already partnered with some brands and, they are looking at monetization in some way right now, I would say.
Sorry. So the thing is, like you mentioned some of the political aspects, and there has been some controversy, and I'm wondering if it's like more of a quirk of like the Indian internet in particular, but there was a bit of controversy over Hello and ShareChat. So I think if I remember correctly, ShareChat was suing Hello for copyright infringement of some sort, and then Hello was also caught up in some fake news issues. I'm wondering if you've been tracking those at all.
Yeah. So that's been happening, but like I said, right, these two are competitors. So ShareChat has been there longer, and Hello launched about 6 months ago. So I think the issue was about Google AdWords, where Hello said that ShareChat said that Hello shouldn't be using ShareChat as a Google AdWord because it doesn't fit into the competency clause or something. But the fake news bit that you mentioned, that's been there on all platforms. It's not just Hello. I mean, everyone is dealing with it. I think WhatsApp has also, been into that kind of issue where it's been spending a lot of money on trying to educate users on fake news and that kind of stuff. And there's no regulation. There's no monitoring. I mean, I don't think, these guys can actually look at every post and try to identify whether it's fake news or not. And the kind of content that's pushed on these platforms like Hello is humongous on a daily basis. So that is something that every other platform which comes in the radar of, content or explosion of data is currently facing in India right now.
Sure. Well, with this new group of users that's opened up, how are the American players doing here? Because, my impression, for example, you go into Southeast Asia markets, Facebook is still dominant, right? That's for many markets, Facebook is the internet. I mean, that's really not an exaggeration. And then obviously, WhatsApp is super popular in India. We've known that for a long time. And there's even been talk of them opening up payments similar to how we have, WeChat Pay in China. So maybe just a quick assessment of how you see the big American players, how they're attacking this new opportunity and what's their positioning and their opportunities.
Sure. So let's when you say American players, let's just talk about the social platforms for a bit, Facebook and WhatsApp, right? So they still continue to be huge in India. I mean, WhatsApp is, I think it had about 200 million monthly active users in India last year. And it keeps growing, It is the default mode of communication for Indians. So WhatsApp is not going away. Platforms like Facebook and WhatsApp are more deeply rooted with Indians, I think. Like they still have, the early mover advantage. They have the network effect advantage. So TikTok might be growing and acquiring new users, but I think a lot of users watch TikTok videos on WhatsApp and not on TikTok itself. So a lot of these videos are shared on WhatsApp. And a lot of other apps, like for example, Vigo or Vivo, you know, these are being used as a tool rather than a platform, even TikTok to some extent. So what users do is users come and create videos on these platforms, but they are shared across platforms like WhatsApp, Instagram, and YouTube. So, you know, to crack the social platform play in India and become the social, you know, the default social app for a certain kind of content is a challenge, you know, for the Chinese players like TikTok in India. That's where they are competing against the American players. That being said, I think WhatsApp's popularity in India also makes it an easy target to get into trouble. Like, for example, we talked about fake news, right? So it's been accused of, you know, facilitating the spread of fake news in India. So it's trying big time to curb that right now. Same thing with Facebook. And, you know, with the general elections that are bound to happen in India this year, we're likely to see a lot more of campaigning happening, not through just Facebook and Instagram or, you know, WhatsApp. A lot of these campaigning is also likely to shift on platforms like Hello and ShareChat.
I mean, also in terms of if we look at e-commerce with Amazon, and then we've got local players. So we've got Chinese players backing local companies in that space as well. How's your assessment of the battles for e-commerce working out in the Indian market right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, what's interesting is, you know, how e-commerce will basically look at the new 400, 500 million users, because Amazon and Flipkart had this battle sort of for the tier one, tier two towns that was going on for a while now, and now Flipkart got acquired by Walmart. So, you know, the next target for them, I believe, is the lower tier audience. And to get to these users is difficult because they're not on Amazon, they're not on Flipkart, they're not shopping through these sites. So I think what also the Chinese players like Club Factory and Romway were trying to do is to get into these lower tier towns and, you know, try and get those users by offering really cheap prices and a lot of, you know, discoverability on their platform. So it'll be interesting. That market still has remained untapped, and it'll be interesting to see how this play sort of unfolds in the next few years. I heard that, you know, Amazon was also trying to get a lot of explanatory features for lower tier audience. For example, you know, Amazon has this sign of a cart when you have to say add to cart, and it has a picture of a cart. But a lot of you know, users living in the lower tier towns in India have never seen a shopping cart. They don't shop like that. So they were sort of, you know, trying to redo their whole page to basically get more users to understand what online shopping is like, and, you know, make them more familiar with the kind of platform that they have. So it'll be interesting to see how you know, these large companies capture that market.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, one of the interesting parts of your article was towards the end, you know, the part about the Chinese playbook and its implications in India, and kind of circling a little bit back to one of the things that you were talking about earlier in terms of how Indian startups are reacting. So I'm curious, I mean, like, you know, so and you also mentioned again, you know, how, you know, if we look at Hello, for example, they're looking at trying to just expand their user base as quickly as possible. I mean, so do you think that, I mean, so on the one hand, I guess the question is, how similar was the Indian startup culture or tech culture kind of similar to Chinese? And so what are some of the differences? And do you think that Indian startups are looking at Chinese tech companies now for inspiration?
No, definitely they are. They are definitely. And this is a question I asked a lot of product people and, you know, startup guys when I was researching on the story, that, you know, do you now look at China as an example as opposed to how you were earlier looking at, you know, the Valley companies, for example? So the answer to that, from what I hear, is definitely yes. People are looking at China in terms of growth. Because the kind of impact that some of these Chinese apps have had in the last couple of years is huge. And that's something that's definitely like a learning point for these guys. So like I said, right, I mean, what Indian startup guys say is that there are two ways of doing things. One is the China way and one is the Valley way. the Valley way is sort of, you know, to get the product right first. I mean, you know, you have, even if you have an initial set of users, you just get the product right as long as you can with those users, and then you expand, as opposed to the China way, where you first get the numbers. You get numbers to show that, you know, it's worth it, the market is worth it, and then you make iterations in the product, then you localize the product, and then you work on the product. So I think a lot of these apps that are in, you know, the China, looking at the content way of things, they are sort of looking at, you know, how to get numbers, how to, you know, prove that this is a market worth exploring. And besides numbers, I'm sure there are other learnings that they're looking at from the China market. So, yes, I mean, that kind of stuff is happening.
That's interesting. You know, when you say they're getting numbers, so essentially they're like taking a product that's proved itself in the China market, and the Chinese way would be flipping that out into India with minimal localization, and then, you know, lots of paid user acquisition, I guess, is what you're saying, like in terms of getting the numbers and then building out the localization later on, essentially.
That's correct. And I think earlier, you know, the VC mindset was slightly different. The VCs also sort of looked at the American way of doing things, which was to get the product market fit right first. But now the VCs are also increasingly looking at China and thinking that, you know, it's not a bad idea to go for numbers. And let's just get the numbers first, and then we decide how to go down from there.
Interesting. So, you know, we talked about the app ecosystem so far, but there's a layer below that, which is the sort of handset manufacturers, right? And we've also seen that Chinese companies have made pretty big strides in the Indian market. And the sort of poster child for that is Xiaomi, right? Who now see India as one of their main markets. They've really made a lot of noise about how well they've been doing there. From your position on the ground, Shadma, like, what do you think about Xiaomi's position in the Indian market? You know, what's their opportunity there, and do they have any threats to the progress that they've made so far?
That's an interesting question. And I say that because, you know, I was recently in China in December, and I did hear a lot of noise about Xiaomi from investors, startup guys, and everyone who sort of has like an India-China link is talking about Xiaomi. So I think in the initial years when they launched their phones in India, they did a little bit of what I would call smart marketing. So these devices were launched on Flipkart through flash sales, which is like a time-bound discount for a limited number of devices, you know, kind of tactics that work well with Indians. And that kind of marketing worked well with the consumers here. And it also offered Indians affordable, good quality handsets, you know, because up until then, I think the perception of Chinese goods, especially electronics, was very negative. I mean, Chinese or China was loosely, you know, used for cheap quality, you know, cheap and low quality devices. So Xiaomi sort of changed that perception. And, you know, not just Xiaomi, other Chinese manufacturers like Oppo and Vivo, they've sort of wiped out the Indian smartphone manufacturers. So, you know, and its strategy of selling hardware for a margin of about 5%, which is really, you know, the honest pricing philosophy, which I think it resonated very well with the Indian users who are value conscious. So it became more mainstream in India that way. And I think now in the last 1 year, they're going big time into investments in India, right? In March last year, I think they said that they'll invest 1 billion in startups in India in the next 5 years. And I also hear that, you know, from all of these smartphones, they do have a lot of data about Indian consumers. And they know what people like to, you know, where people spend their time on smartphones. And they're using that sort of to, you know, make this potential investment in Indian startups. So I won't be surprised if Xiaomi emerges to be, you know, one of the largest internet companies in India in the years to come.
Interesting. Are they like, is there some level of cooperation between Xiaomi and the Chinese players, you know, like in terms of user acquisition? Are you seeing that Chinese companies are partnering with Xiaomi? Because Xiaomi makes a big deal about how, you know, the hardware, as you mentioned, 5% margin. So services is where all the profits will lie. And, you know, a big part of that would be driving, you know, user acquisition for different apps. And so it seems to be, you know, an obvious synergy there. If Chinese players are looking to spend on this market, then Xiaomi would be a good place to do that. Are you seeing that? Or is it, you know, how are they building their services out? And is there any China connection there?
I'm not really sure. I don't think I've heard of it yet, but also because I haven't looked at their play that way. So it might be happening, but it's just that I'm not aware of it.
Right. And then in terms of like they're selling these phones at a very, very low margin, is that strategy long term sustainable, you think? If they raise their prices, are they gonna lose all their customers? It seems to be that they're targeting people who are very price sensitive.
That's correct. And it's likely to happen because if it's not Xiaomi, there is going to be Oppo or Vivo or someone else or another Chinese phone or another phone that's basically offering them the same the same device at a lower price. So it can happen both ways. I think they do have a loyal set of users in India that basically swear by Xiaomi because they haven't had that kind of device at that price. So people do wait for the next launch of Xiaomi, like they do wait for the next launch of OnePlus. So they do have a certain set of loyal users in India, which will continue to buy Xiaomi phones, I think. But there's also going to be this new set of users who are extremely price conscious and who do not care about the brand and who will go after any other cheaper device maker that offers them a device at a cheaper price.
John, you want to finish up?
Yeah, looking at, I'm talking mostly about Xiaomi, but I mean, what about other companies? I mean, like how are Oppo and Vivo and OnePlus doing?
I think they're doing well. I think Oppo and Vivo are very popular among, like we said, the consumers who are extremely price conscious. And, it's been an advantage in India that you can actually buy a smartphone under, say, $100. So that's something that has brought a lot of Indians on the smartphone and internet periphery, which has worked well with Indians. OnePlus, I would say, is sort of like, in many ways, like the iPhone of India. Because it's slightly above the normal price range, and it has all the features that you would need. It has it has a kind of following that iPhone would see in other countries, because people watch out for the next iPhone to come, and they're all earlier it was invite only, but now it's available on Amazon to buy directly, and it's quite popular that way. So I think OnePlus will continue to do well. Because it's got a very strong following of this urban market, everywhere you go in India, you will see OnePlus. And I was very surprised when in China I couldn't find a OnePlus, though it's a manufacturer. So I would say they will continue to be big in India.
Okay, and then just looking forward, Shadman, we were at the beginning of 2019, right? Like, what trends do you expect to be, what China-related trends do you expect to be happening in the Indian market moving forward for 2019?
That's like a million-dollar question, That's where my next stories will come from. But, if I have to answer this, I think this will continue. The number of Chinese apps launching in India will keep increasing. Especially in the content space. The current apps are, I think, likely to see more users. There will also be a lot of Indian apps that will try and get more aggressive, like we talked about earlier. For example, Hello, the ByteDance app, is basically a copy of the Indian app ShareChat, which was launched in 2015 and already has 50 million users. So there are other Indian apps like ShareChat, Clip, Samosa. They are also likely to get into this whole artificial growth business along with these Chinese apps. And, there's a lot of money that has flown in India through venture-funded investments, which will basically fund and facilitate this growth. So the social/content/video space, I think, is likely to grow tremendously in the coming year. And we should also see early monetization happening through some of these platforms. I don't think all of them will survive in the long run, because there can't be 20 live streaming platforms. But the ones that will survive or can survive are the ones that will get a community of creators and users together and then find a way to sort of, monetize them. Those are the kind of apps that are likely to stick out from the 44 apps that we talked about in the story. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I think for today, John, do you have any further questions?
No, that's it. I think to be honest, this just really kind of highlights how ignorant I am of the Indian market at this point, and that I need to do a lot more research.
Well, Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's actually, we should be breaking this down into different areas. Right? E-commerce, you could do a whole podcast on that, right? Like, and for some of these questions, like Xiaomi, that could be a podcast in itself as well. So yeah, we're really skipping between topics. But is there anything else, Shadma, that you want to cover in terms of that you feel like important points that we haven't touched upon that you think our listeners might be interested in?
I think this is pretty much it. Like, the content space is what's most popular in India right now, and most Chinese guys are trying to target, which is interesting because they don't understand the language. But a lot of them are in that space. And like you said, you know, Xiaomi, e-commerce, all of these things are separately, you know, growing into their own, you know, areas, and they are likely to be big. There's another thing that we're likely to see, which is, you know, social commerce or content commerce that might grow in the coming years. But these are all, you know, like future-looking things that are still in early stages. Like the content space, it has exploded. But the other spaces, they are yet, you know, catching up, I think.
Right. Because to my knowledge, there's no equivalent of Pinduoduo in India right now, right? There's no e-commerce, because Pinduoduo is basically e-commerce for, you know, lower tier, more rural areas of China. It seems to be perfectly fit for what we're talking about. But we don't see any... And just the way that the e-commerce experience works on Pinduoduo is very different from traditional search-driven e-commerce, right? It's actually recommendation-driven, where you go there and you'll scroll down the newsfeed and then pick out an item. You don't actually search for items usually. So it's very much built for a less sophisticated mobile internet user. But we haven't seen anyone really grab this opportunity in the Indian market yet, to my knowledge. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yeah, I don't think there's an exact Pinduoduo equivalent in India, but I think there are some, you know, social selling, reselling kind of platforms. I think there are some of these platforms, like Meesho is one, for example. These platforms, what they're trying to do is they're trying to sell through WhatsApp. It's not group buying like Pinduoduo, but it's basically, you know, trying to get into your network of friends or relatives or, you know, like a reseller or social reseller kind of platform. So, yeah. So, there's no exact equivalent. But you're right. I mean, you know, e-commerce is likely to, you know, get into different areas of selling, find different ways of selling. So, that's all likely to happen. And I can say that, you know, a lot of Indian entrepreneurs are looking at all of these models, because Pinduoduo, for example, is something that, you know, caused a lot of conversation in India, and a lot of Indian entrepreneurs wanted to go see how it worked out and if they can implement something similar in India. So that kind of stuff is happening. But it's not, I mean, I wouldn't say the markets are exactly the same. So there are various ways in which this could develop. But that's again, a futuristic thing, something we'd like to see how it goes in the future.
Yeah, I guess that leads into another question about payments. You know, your assessment of the payments infrastructure in China. I think we did mention a little bit before about how WhatsApp has made some announcements, but I'm unclear of exactly how much traction they've got there. Obviously, Paytm is the leader here, but you know, where are mobile payments? Where do they stand right now in the Indian market in terms of adoption?
I don't think the adoption is very high, but you know, I think it's also because of the regulatory challenges that these apps keep getting into. So there are a bunch of apps that offer payments, and there's also this government owned app which basically, you know, offers payments, but I don't think the adoption is very high. And it might, you know, the second part of this conversation is also about, you know, the awareness or the ability of people to actually go on your phone and make payments. So that's still very low. People are not very comfortable making payments online. Like, you know, cash on delivery is very popular in India. So, I mean, a lot of Uber didn't have cash payment until they launched in India, and they decided that, you know, you cannot crack this market until it's cash. So it's still a lot of, you know, cash-driven economy. So we're way behind in payments. If you compare it to China, way behind, I would say.
Interesting. So, like, if our listeners want to know more, if they want to reach out to you, or if they want to learn more about the Indian market, I think you mentioned at the beginning, you know, where would be good places to do that, Shadma?
Yeah, sure. So you can, I can be reached on through my Twitter account. My DMs are open. It's Shadma Sheikh. And I think if you want to know more about India and, you know, get to know about the technology ecosystem here, you should definitely check out you know, our website, factordaily.com, we do one story a day, which is like a deep, insightful story. And, you know, it speaks of, you know, the tech landscape in India, how it's growing, how it's impacting, you know, what kind of signals are you likely to see in future, that kind of stuff.